Teddy Robinson, and all who helped to make this show possible. We want to give special shout out and thanks to the Global Women's Strike for helping with today's show. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Rising Up with Sonali Kolhatkar. Sojourner Truth will be back on the air with special programming on Tuesday. I hope you get to do so.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon World Water Day, celebrated on Thursday, March 22nd. Environment Oregon and Oregon Environmental Council are organizing a statewide celebration of World Water Day on March 22nd to celebrate the importance of clean and abundant water and to bring people together around a common commitment to a future with cleaner and more abundant water. All events are listed at OregonWorldWaterDay.org. Again, that's Oregon World Water Day, celebrated on Thursday, March 22nd, in locations all over the state. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. Time for Air Cascadia coming up next. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, The Food Show welcomes the organizers of Oyster Day, plus the author of Mastering Stocks and Broths. This is KBOO, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 21st. We are over the spring equinox, blown unseen and howling over our heads. With trembling hands extended in the dark, we struggle alone and cold to touch another shore. 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Sanctuary Solidarity. The hour of the hoobug is upon us, listeners. Yes, indeed, at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM. We've got a couple trigger warnings for you today. Indeed, all around us are potential triggers cocked and ready to fire. You gentle souls who abhor the very thought of a lie, you should probably leave the room, because hell's stubby little cat-stained fingers have left a trail of taps upon the nation's keyboard. What have they been feeding him? And then there's the why is it that this stuff is such a surprise. Every day the same thing. Wow, what a surprise. The president has done and or said and or tweeted some mendacious little morsel that he really didn't mean, but which knocked the stuffing out of its designated recipient. In this case, it's Saudi Arabia, which probably wonders why America's the leader of the free world seems to be pleading for money and desperately trying to sell them all manner of armory and weaponry. It's almost like he's knocking timidly on the door of the Saudi palace to sell them cookies. With another trigger warning, baby shooting. If baby shootings upset you, it's time to stop listening. One of the three white supremacists on trial in Wichita, Kansas, opined that he was okay with shooting babies in the name of his white supremacist cause. That's a wake-up call. You'd think that the leader of the free world would have something to say about that, and indeed something also to say about the not-so-surprising revelation that the Austin bomber was a white male. If this was any other group of people in the United States, or anywhere else for that matter, if it were anyone else besides white male shooters or bombers, what have you, this would be blown wide open. They would have every federal agency crawling all over it. Where's the NSA now that we need them? Let's round up every white male and assign them the stigma which has been assigned to many other minority groups for doing nothing but perhaps coughing outside a mosque. Weather for today, increasing clouds. We've got a low today around 41, and rain is still being forecasted tonight. Rain and a low around 42 with a light south wind. For tomorrow, showers likely, overcast skies. Otherwise, how the hell would you have showers if the sky wasn't overcast? If we have showers and there's and a lovely, shiny, sunny day, that's when you better start worrying. And showers likely tomorrow, highs around 49, and for tomorrow night, again, a bit of rain and a low around 37. And that's it for your Air Cascadia weather. We are right now working on the Kelly Vlahos project. Kelly Vlahos is the executive editor of the American Conservative magazine. And have we ever got some questions for Kelly? This is in regard to the Saudi Arabian junket, the tour of the free world to see what's up. What's up in 21st century? That said, closer to home, Hanford. In light of current issues with Hanford's water, this is directly from the their local newspaper, aired this morning, about 4 hours ago. The city is moving forward with a plan to treat the water from three wells. There's a problem with some contamination. Then again, no surprise there. This goes back, though, to the March 6th Hanford City Council study session. Leader of the discussion was John Doyle, Utilities and Engineering Director for the city. Doyle told the council about a few of the water issues that have come up over the last few months. First of all, there is an arsenic violation at one of the wells, well 50, and that's the city's newest well, located at the well, you don't need to know where that well is. Anyway, Doyle said that when the well was built, arsenic levels were between 8 and 9 parts per billion, according to California State Water Resources Council. They're in trouble. They're in terrible trouble. And it's probably radioactive, too. The interesting thing about this story is there is, in fact, no mention of the possibility of nuclear contamination, though it is pretty well unspoken, but very definitely known that pretty much everything one can assume has some level of contamination. And these three wells, local wells, are going to be ground zero if anybody ever bothers to do serious investigation. People who are whistleblowers have already jumped ship. And now, moving right along, the other location of record-breaking ship jumping, as one lawmaker characterized it, we are in the foothills of creepy. No kidding. Lawmakers in both the U.S. and the U.K. are demanding that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg explain reports that political research firm Cambridge Analytica, which did in fact work for President Trump's campaign, secretly used the 50 million users' data. That is the mainstream media headline. And as we learned yesterday from James Henry. There's a lot more to that story, but right now we are welcoming Kelly Vlahos to the KBOO Airwaves and to Air Cascadia. Kelly is the executive editor of the American Conservative Magazine and recently wrote a piece, U.S.-Saudi Lobby in Overdrive, head of the roadshow that has come to town, Crown Prince Bin Salman in Washington, and the established press won't tell you. What are we not seeing in this visit?
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
Oh, and of course, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you. Yes. No, what we're not seeing is there's a whole web and network of lobbyists who are working for Saudi Arabia. My report had indicated just in the last year, 2017, that Saudi Arabia had hired no fewer than 25 American firms, most based in Washington, D.C., who were doing various services for the kingdom, from, you know, managing their message, putting out press release, working with think tanks, connecting them with defense contractors, advocating for policy that was advantageous to Saudi Arabia on Capitol Hill, everything from killing the 9/11 deal, a bill that would allow survivors to go to court and go after the Saudi government for any connections to the hijackers. So we're talking about serious business here. So by the time that Prince Salman comes to town and is wined and dined and meets with all of our you know, top officials and movers and shakers, there's already a sort of like red carpet, I call it, laid out for him, all built with, you know, with and by lobbyists here in Washington. I think American people need to know that this goes on in Washington all the time. Foreign governments engage in this all the time, but Saudi Arabia is probably the most egregious in terms of its influence on our policies that aren't always necessarily in the best interests of the American people.
Yeah, it seems that lobbyists they have gained a great deal of, I don't know what you'd call it, credibility on the political front. That was not any part of the original architecture of the business, it seems. But the thing that I wonder if you can tell us is why we've got, of the two choices, Saudi Arabia or Iran. It seems that years and years ago, the U.S. Made a decision. These are the two powerful poles of power in the Middle East. And Iran is a country that is extremely westernized in and around Tehran. They have active art scenes and all this sort of thing. We've got a number of books by female writers have been translated, published in translation, and have been racking up awards. So, and the films coming out of Iran are very interesting, very competitive, and so far as you know, the world, you know, various festivals, we don't see that coming out of Saudi Arabia, and yet the U.S. Governments, many and past governments, as well as this current, whatever you call it, clown show. Why the choice between these two powers in the Middle East? Why go cash our chips in with Saudi Arabia, not Iran?
Well, I think is what you're seeing here is two diametrically different approaches to these foreign policies, both Iran and Saudi Arabia. In terms of the Iran approach to, you know, by our government, you know, we have an entrenched opposition to Iran that dates back to their Islamic Revolution in 1979. The CIA has felt ultimately screwed over by the Islamists and have never forgotten it. And you have a generation after generation of foreign policy analysts diplomats, CIA agents, foreign service officers who are coming from the school of foreign policy that is opposed to the Islamic Republic there. So you don't have a lot of sympathy. You don't have a lot of thoughtful diplomatic positions or approaches or thinking on Iran, because it's sort of wired in to our Washington thinking about Iran. On the other hand, with Saudi Arabia, they have always been considered an ally of the United States. So you have students here within our Foreign Service echelons. You have officers working in our naval academies and our service academies. We have constant exchanging. So there is quite the opposite. As opposed to oppositional, it is more embracing of Saudi Arabia. So that is all baked in. And so when you come to Washington, whether it be in the lobbying world or on Capitol Hill, there's just not a lot of sympathy for Iran. We are opposed to their nuclear program. We're on the other side. We're helping, you know, the Saudis build a nuclear power program. So you can see it in every example. I would say that's unfortunate because, like you point out, there are a lot of areas within Iranian politics and culture we could be making connections and tamping down the rhetoric of war. But like my good friend Gareth Porter has written pretty extensively about our opposition to their nuclear power program over the last two generations.
And that's probably the nut of it. This is the issue. Kelly, I want to thank you for joining us today, last minute, and calling in. We're delighted to speak with you. We've got a number of more questions, of course, but that have to be saved for another time. Our guest today has been Kelly Blahos, executive